Stop Pretending Podcast with your hosts, Kevin Ray and Tasia Nevels.
Of Stop Pretending Podcast. This is episode 3. I am so excited, man. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm ready, bro. What's up? How are you?
I'm really surprised at the feedback that we've been getting from the podcast. You've been pushing it really, really heavy.
I'm trying, yo.
And I'm doing my little thingy thing. You know what I'm saying? We up to 50.
It's crazy. Social media feels like a job now.
It is a job. I mean, because we're making it a job.
Yeah.
But we're up to, what, 50 ratings? If you guys are listening to this episode, please go and rate and leave us, you know, a couple of stars. We appreciate all 5 lit up for the, you know, 5-star. It's a 5-star podcast. You know, we need the 5-star reviews.
Share with all the people in your contacts for us, please. Share it on your timeline. Share it on your Instagram.
Yes, share, share. Sharing is caring. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, too. How, you know, sharing is what we need to be doing in the Black community when it comes to these stars. If we're trying to maintain our starship. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You feel that? Let's get it.
Love it.
First of all, you know,
it was a wild weekend.
It was a wild weekend.
Wild week last week.
I know. I was just on Twitter, and this girl named Hennessy. I don't know if y'all keeping up with the tea with Miss Hennessy, but Hennessy is actually being she's going viral right now. She is a trans woman who had a sex change. And she has been outing a lot of people in the Philadelphia community. I believe Philadelphia, either Philly or somewhere up north. And she's even been, Florida. It's Florida.
Okay.
She's been outing men specifically in Florida for because they were having sex with her. And I do want to just briefly talk about this with my LGBTQ community is that outing people, it affects your purpose with, you know, being accepted as
a safe place.
No, it just it affects the trajectory of what you guys are fighting for. Like, you can't take pride on calling people out about having sex with you when you yourself say that you deserve to have sex with as any other person. So, I mean, it's like you guys are kind of taking a weird stance towards yourself. Like, we view you as regular. You had the sex change. Your penis is gone. So, yes, men are having sex with you. You have a vagina. What isn't that what they're supposed to do? But now it's like you're counterproductive. You're going on, you know, social media and you're trying to embarrass men who had sex with you and by way of accepting you of who you are and who you claim to be. You make yourself look, you know, fetishized and closeted off and coveted in a way. Is that the right word? Like coveted, like concealed in a way. When you go out and try to bash people for treating you like they would any other woman, you know? So that's a popular topic that I'm just briefly was running into on Twitter because this is going very viral. You know, she had a sex change and I seen the vagina and it looks real.
Oh, wow.
And it had some stuff going on. But my LGBTQ community is dangerous, you know, and it's very counterproductive. It distorts your purpose of you guys trying to be viewed as anybody else. When we treat you like anybody else, then you guys kind of make yourselves not like everybody else. I don't know. But anyway, so that was a popular tea on Twitter. What about you?
Yeah, you know, last week, Dominate the Headlines was my artist, Kanye.
Oh, God.
He was spotted with a shirt on at a fashion event with Candace Owens, very right-wing lady. It was saying white lives matter and triggered a lot of people. Like,
it triggered me.
He had an actual sit down with Tucker off of Fox News, very conservative base. And I actually checked out the interview.
And what did you get from the interview?
You know what's so interesting about Kanye? And I think he does this for fun, but he triggers the whole community and everybody's just this rah, 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 rah. And they get really upset at what he does. But then when you check out the actual interview, it's like a lamb is talking.
Like, what does that mean?
He talks so soft-spoken, makes some interesting points.
Some interesting points that you took away from the interview?
I can tell that he is reshaping himself, reinventing himself to be relevant for politics. I can see him trying to be in a cabinet in some form of government.
For who?
Elon Musk, whether it be Trump. I think he definitely wants the greatest minds at the table. And he's appealing to his base.
Who is his base?
It looks like the right wing Republicans are his base.
Yet you're using a White Lives Matter T-shirt
to draw
in right wing people, and you think that is what do you think that is? What's so good about that? I'm not making that correlation.
He's a Gemini, Tay. Geminis love drama. Like,
so
think Gemini, Trump and Kanye are two of the same. They are two in the same people. Like, to me, they love drama. They know how to work the media to the point that it gets the spotlight back on them talking, and you want to hear what they're going to say next.
Wow.
I know it's crazy.
No, it's really disgusting. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I just find it incredibly disrespectful to use something that is triggering, especially to the emotions of Black people, to make a point to right-wing America. Leave us out of it. If don't take our movement and try to garner attention from our pain towards people that don't care about us, don't care about our trajectory in this community, don't care about our economic progress, don't care about our social progress, don't care about our lives.
Right.
But you want to put on a White Lives Matter t-shirt. I find it very disrespectful, but you know.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think his methods are real over the top. I just don't get him sometimes. Like, but then I get him. It's interesting. Like,
what do you get about him?
When I listen to him, he definitely, he was talking about just stating the obvious that white lives do matter. That's what his pops had told him or text him. That you're gonna stir up a lot of shit with this shirt.
So when you say you get him, mm-hmm. are you okay with that? Like, are you okay with that type of approach? Like, do you think that is accomplishing whatever mission that he's out? And if you believe that it is, what is the mission?
I want him to keep writing the story because it's hard
you
to
want
say.
Him to keep disrespect.
I have
you
a
want
theory.
Us to keep disrespecting
no,
us?
No.
What do you mean?
I just have a theory that.
You have hope.
Yeah, I do have hope.
Okay. Hope of what?
I don't even like talking about this.
No, talk it's about it.
But.
Talk about it.
I do have this hope that I feel like he's going to be utilized in a way to bring us together. I don't know how. I don't know why.
Bring us as in who?
Black people and white people. Forcing us to have the conversations. No?
Through our pain, though. Not through their pain. Just through ours. Yeah. Just using our pain.
He got in trouble with the Jews, though. I know.
Yeah, so you think he's going to be the Jesus bridge between black people and white people?
He looks like
you
he's
think he's going to put the Band-Aid on it. He's going to put the Band-Aid, the beige Band-Aid on black and white white relationships. You think he is going to be able to stop police?
I don't think
police?
He's going to be the one. But I think he's going to force a lot of conversation.
A lot of conversation.
Mm, like we're having today. We're having this conversation because of Ye.
Well put.
Yeah.
I still don't respect it.
Yeah.
Using other people's pain and trauma to have this conversation. But it is what it is. Moving on.
Do it that you will, because I really don't know a lot about it. I'm not.
You got to have faith in Ye like you have faith in Jesus, okay?
Yeah. You're right.
That's why he's using that.
Let's get into our topic. But no. So I was looking at how Basically, Ye was talking about black people being managers, include quote-unquote Obama being managers for white people when it comes to relating to black people, kind of gatekeeping different things. And I was just like, well, you kind of do the same thing for fashion. Like, you know, I was listening to Nicki Minaj talk about how he pretty much blocked her from the fashion industry.
And Nicki Minaj does the same thing. Like, people say, you know, when they cut... Black female rappers, when they come out, it's hard to work with her. She's hard to get in contact with. She doesn't, you know, beef up nobody. It's like you got to basically kiss her ass for her to put you on a song, for her to even mention your name. She just makes it hard for other people. And I don't know why we had this. What do you call it?
I call it dying with the baton mentality.
Dying with the baton.
Yeah. You know, someone passed you the baton. Or you claim the baton, but you're dying with it instead of passing it to the next generation.
Or running with the torch and running so fast that the torch blows out.
Just think about it. Even with Nicki, you know, Wayne passed the torch to Nicki and Drake. Imagine if he would have kept all the glory to himself and never even signed them to Young Money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he knew the importance of building his legacy after him. Like,
That's a beautiful word that you talk about that I feel like in the black community is not discussed a lot, is legacy, specifically with men. But we're going to talk about black people as a whole today is what do we want to leave behind for the younger generation? Like, what do we, when we see the people that are coming behind, do we want to make things easier for them? I mean, do we really, you know, and it doesn't even have to be for the younger people. Do we want to make the person that is beside us, you know, make it easier for the people that are beside us?
There is a you that exists that's not tied to trauma or struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you hear that, black people. There is a you that exists that's not tied to struggle or trauma. And we don't have to pass trauma and struggle on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. That as if that's what's going to make them worthy of what we're walking in now.
Yes.
You know?
And I also think that we don't view each other as one. Like, you know, a lot of people talk about tribalism within the black community, and they talk about tribalism as if it's a bad thing, but I think it could be a beautiful thing. Like, when you see your people that grew up around you, the same culture as you, you guys should be able to see each other's experience through each other's eyes, and you should want yourself to struggle, so don't let the next person struggle. When we start moving together collectively as one people towards progress, we can break down powerful things. We can break down structure. We can break down this structure that makes it hard for us to live.
Yeah.
You know?
This is a popular preacher, Bishop T.D. Jakes. He's actually known for how he has been a pillar in the black community, and he has this popular conference called Woman Thou Art Loose, and he's actually passing that conference over to his daughter, Sarah Jakes, very popular amongst black women, and it was just a beautiful thing. But I just saw so many black people also just like, oh, that's just a business. Oh, look at them. They such a cold.
Not understanding legacy.
Not understanding, you know, that the Bible says even in Proverbs that a good man leaves his children's children an inheritance. That's what the Bible kind of calls a good man. And even in locally in Birmingham, I'm witnessing the transition of a pastor that I deeply love, Pastor Mike of Faith Chapel. And he's passing it on to his son, like at 68 years old, about 68 years old, look good in his strong health. And that's just such a beautiful thing, because I never see that in the black community. It's just rare that you see leadership, share leadership.
Yeah, and it doesn't, and I just kind of want to even piggyback off that. I think that's a beautiful thing, and it doesn't have to end there. It doesn't have to end with blood. It doesn't have to end with, you know, relatives. You can be your nephew that you don't spend time with. It could be the little girl that plays out, that admires you, that you know admires you. You know, like I have a few people who say that, you know, I inspire certain things about them, you know, and I hang out with them. They may be a lot younger than me, and we may not have a lot to relate, you know, with, but I know that they're soaking up. They're looking for motivation. They're looking for opportunities. And so,
yeah,
you know, black, I feel like we just need to take ourselves serious about, like, I take you serious as a mentor. And I think a lot of people look at you as a mentor, preacher man. So, so just, you know,
yeah,
grabbing that by the horns, teaching the kids, each one teach one.
Each one teach one. And my auntie always like, grab a child. Somebody grab a child.
Somebody grab a child.
Just grab a child. Just like mentor that child. Like pour into them. Do something. Give them what you needed when you were younger.
So what are some ways that people can kind of recognize, you know, this quote unquote crab in a bucket mentality?
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like there's two kind of people in Black America that exist. I was reading a post on Facebook by a girl named Mercedes, and she said, I just offered a candidate $85,000 for a job that had a budget of $130,000. I offered her that because that's what she asked for, and I personally don't have the bandwidth to give lessons on salary negotiation. Here's the lesson.
So Shorty said,
yeah,
that she ain't got the time to help her sister with the highest salary to make that girl's life better. But you got the time to get on the internet. Mm-hmm. And you got the time to tell us about this position that you had.
Stunt on us, right?
You got the time to stunt. Uh-huh. But you ain't got the time to help nobody when none of us knew about it. When like, really?
Black folks be hell, cuz.
We got demons. We all got demons. Go ahead, though.
And then, you know, she said, here's the lesson. Always ask for the salary you want or deserve. No matter how large you think it might be, you never know how much a company has to work with. Hashtag be confident. And then there was another story. I really like this one. You know, this girl, Brianna, she said, had a junior software engineer ask for a very low salary range. She will be shocked when this offer comes through. Yeah, we paying your worth over here.
That's beautiful.
That hit different coming from Bree. Like, I love that. Like, you know, to me, why are you gatekeeping with a crab in the bucket mentality?
Why do we love to see each other struggle?
Yeah.
Why do we? It goes down to love. Mm-hmm. It goes down to opportunities. It's like we don't believe that we could just have happiness. Like even when it comes to just existing in this world, it seems like we just have to work and struggle, yeah, to breathe. And that's not what we're supposed to do.
You got to spot these crabs, though. These crabs are spotted by three traits: complain, compare, and covet. Covet just means simply means that you just want what somebody has just because they have it. Like, and I just feel like to beat it, you got to replace it with replace complaining with responsibility, your own responsibility, and compare with focus on what you want, not on what somebody else has, not trying to see how many likes she got so you can have the next baby, or just whatever these crazy things that we doing to, ooh, compare and contrast, ooh, our lives with somebody. It's like we're comparing our behind the scenes with someone else's highlights. And even if there is their real life, celebrate them, love them, like stop trying to compare. And like also replacing covet with gratitude, just being thankful for what you have and making the best out of what you have. To me, you know, it's so easy to escape the crabs and the bucket mentality when you stop measuring yourself up to next to everyone you're afraid to give praise. Like it's so cool to just be able to say, I admire you. Instead of comparing, let's appreciate each other.
And do it as an exercise. I feel like I gotta be 100. Like, mm-hmm, growing up as the only child, mm-hmm, I was very selfish with attention.
Make it real.
And I did have a crab in the bucket mentality. And I know that a lot of people that I grew up with also wanted to be the only one to do something first. Mm-hmm. Or the only one to do something at all. And that's just because we all have this desire to be different. We all have this desire to be unique. And that is a beautiful thing because guess what? We all are, like you just said, like we all have gifts. We all have things that separate us from other people. But the thing that helped me kind of unlearn this was intentionally congratulating people and making it a practice. You know, like even if I didn't want to, even if I felt envious in my soul about, you know what, I deserve this more than she did or he deserved this. I didn't let that like, mm-hmm, own me. Mm-hmm. So I would combat that with, I'm happy for you. Yes. Like, fake it until you make it, because eventually it's a practice and you will be genuine. You will start to learn. Like, anything that you do requires work. And so even if you have to fake it and just practice it until you get it, be intentional about congratulating people once a week. You know, share someone's business on your Instagram once a week. Repost somebody else's picture on your page with a bunch of hearts once a week. Mm-hmm. You know, go and donate to Shorty's Cash App or donate to Shorty's GoFundMe to do whatever that she needs to do. You're going to have to actively congratulate people. You're going to have to actively love people even before you believe that you do. Yeah. So that way it'll eventually happen. And that's how it happened for me. Cause I did have that mentality. I did have everything should be about me because nobody else cares about what I got going on. But when you start congratulating other people and that reminds you to stop comparing yourself, and you have to remind yourself to stop comparing yourself while doing that. So it's going to take work is my point, you know?
Yeah. And especially as you get older, you'll figure out that you are the decider of what you get by what you give. Like, if you're such a selfish person that it's always about you, you'll find that nobody's going to share your business.
Yes.
Like, hey, if you really want support, be supportive.
Yes.
Like, if you want that, if you really want to reap that, you got to be a supportive person.
Yes.
And I had to reflect that on myself. Like, it's people that genuinely fuck with me, buy books or subscribe to my podcast. Hell yeah, I'm gonna share your shit. Hell yeah, I'm gonna come do business with you. Because, and it's not even the sense that I'm expecting anything back, but I want that to be that I'm good ground.
Yes.
That, okay, I see he's not a selfish person. I see that he's a platform that I can get behind.
He cares about me. Yeah, he recognizes me. And that's something that I always do see with you, is that you, per people's birthday, Kev is on there, happy birthday. He's going to be the first, he's a cheerleader, and people notice that, and they want to cheer you on because you care about the best for them. So that just shows you that we are one people, and we reflect on each other. And when you're a negative person, nobody wants to be attached to a negative person or a person that thinks that they're all about them, because they can't see themselves in your eyes. They only can see you. Yeah. I don't want to get off subject, but we are one people, and when people can relate to you and they feel they're connected with you, especially as Black people, then that is a collective movement towards progression.
Yeah.
And it's something that's very strong. You know?
I agree. I just have nothing in me to hide your light or try to dim yours to lift my own. Be real with you, I'm tired of hearing so many young Black men and women always complaining or saying they have to go to other communities to help. Don't get me wrong, I'm open and I celebrate anybody that God uses to help our young people. But damn, how dope would it be if you could say that, man, if it could be said about you that you helped in mentoring a young Black woman or Black man. Shit, Denzel did it for Chadwick Boseman. Stop being afraid of each other and stop making it hard for the next in line when somebody made it easy for you. Like, stop fucking pretending that you didn't get no help on your journey, that somebody didn't believe in you, took a chance on you, hired you, invested, trained, paid you what you were worth and more.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, and another thing that I feel like that helped me out personally is expanding my social circle. So, you know, your methods of thinking and behaviors and decision-making process are greatly influenced by the people, you know, we spend the most time with. So that means that if you are always around people who make, you know, poor life decisions in the area where you're aiming to improve, you're at risk of being pulled down. So Jim Rohn said you are the average of 5 people you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with people who congratulate other people. Surround yourself with people who you know that inspire you, that motivates you. Because you're going to want to, you know, give out those praises. And you're going to, these people are confident in themselves and they have no problem, you know, recognizing your success. When you're around people who always are down and pessimistic about everything, you can't expect for them to congratulate you. You can't expect for them to embrace you. And you can't expect for them to give you the energy that you need to outdo your own dreams, to outdo your own vision for yourself. So expand your social circle for those people if you think that you're stuck around crab in a bucket ass people. Because I know a lot of us are stuck around, mm-hmm. you know, in this environment, in this toxic environment that this
survival.
Yeah, and this, that America's put us in. We have a lot of trauma. We have a lot of depression. We have food that's killed. We have so many things that are against us. But you can choose who you could be around. And that's the beautiful thing about 2022 is that we have a choice. We have a lot of choices.
You know what I gather from what you were saying is that you can't go beyond your friends. Isn't that powerful? You really can't go beyond your friends and their mindset. You know, for me, it's like, stop pretending that we're going to shit on folks, that we're in essence pretending like we are superior. I will always be me. You will always be you. It's certain folks I cannot do business with. Be honest with you. Like, I know they won't go as hard for my projects as I would go for theirs. Like, I've supported people, got behind people, invested. Oh, we love it when it's done for us now. But when it comes to another brother, and man, we got to do better jobs of this, leading in this way that I'm going to help lift another brother up. I have no problem saying, hey, man, you owning that shit, bro. Like, go ahead. Keep running your lane. Keep running your race. I have no issue with that. No jealous bone in my body. And if I do, best believe, I'm going to test myself and say, you know, I'm going to lift that brother up. I'm gonna drop his name in somebody's hat.
Because like, that's a reflection of you.
Yeah.
Black, I don't care if they is the gutters of that butts. Of the ratchetest of the ratchets, of the lowest of the slums, what you see around you is a reflection of the of our position here in America. These are your people. We are one people, yeah. And especially when it comes to this social construct here in America, we are one people. And so, just think about that. Every single time, like you being able to say, you know, I'm gonna congratulate that brother. Yeah, because if that brother makes it, you make it. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's progression for all of us. And
yeah.
We got to start viewing it. We got to start viewing ourselves as these are my people. These are my people. Who gonna look out for us if not us? I was listening to Van Lathan on a podcast, and he said, everything that Black people have in this country, they got for themselves. We got for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So everything that we have accomplished here, nobody else has helped us. And so if we don't continue to help each other, we will not elevate, you know? So that's, and in order to do that, we're going to have to see our experience through other people's eyes. You see what I'm saying? And give each other a chance. So
I just want our community to see what we see. I just want our community to see what I see. Beautiful, gifted Black people that should be admired, seen, celebrated, shouted out, shared, bragged on, put on, and empowered. Is so many blessings in being generous. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, bigger and bigger. Look at Oprah. Look at Tyler Perry. Their legacies will live on. What will live on from you, or will it die with you? Ask that question again. What will live on from you, or will it die with you? Sure, you have the status, the bomb IG pictures, the vacations, etc. That's too shallow when we're called to live deeper. Like, come on, y'all. What will live from you, or will it die with you?
Legacy. What is your legacy? What is my legacy? Yeah, we've been through a lot, but what is your legacy? What would people say about you? So yeah, that was a long needed podcast, and that was a long needed conversation. And I hope that somebody takes what we say and start to mentor or grab a hold or share or attend or promote or encourage or uplift somebody else and put somebody else, you know, in your spotlight.
Yeah.
For a second.
And real talk. You are a leader in something. You're owning something.
Yes, you are a leader in something.
And I feel like, look, if your leadership isn't about you, it will live beyond you. Real talk.
And that's my tech talk.